Plant Talk with Dave Decock on the air and brought to you by Thompson Greenery in Barnesville and Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood. Dave, welcome back.
Well, it's great to be here.
It is great that we're already seeing spring this early.
Right, right.
It's just like it should be, isn't it?
Right,
it yes, is.
Let's hope
that.
We don't get any of this winter back again, because we certainly could.
Well, bingo, true. Right? Yes.
We certainly could. You know, everybody's really jumping the gun to do things. And
good point. Good point.
It's still really early.
Okay, so let's speak of early. We got an email in at it2@kfgo.com. This is from Jean, and Jean sent in a picture of her rhubarb already starting to sprout, already starting to see some stuff come out. And Jean says, "This is my rhubarb plant that's grown out of the ground. It's mounted at least 10 inches high. It's an old plant and has supplied rhubarb to numerous neighbors. You're a great neighbor, Jean. Thank you. I'd hate to lose it. It still bears rhubarb, although the stalks are smaller. Thanks for your advice on this. What do you think?"
Well, my guess would be is it's probably just barely root bound, and that's probably why the stalks are really small. So I guess what I would do, if possible, is I'd go in and dig it and divide it, or if you don't want to do that, just dig halfway around and cut part of the root off and move that someplace else. And then when you get that part out of there, fill back in. Because I would guess that what happened, it's been there so long and it probably comes up in the soil, and when they get root bound, then the production declines. But I think dividing
could it, you do that now? Could you divide it now?
I would think now would be a good time to do it.
Yeah. Okay. Is that the typical time we divide rhubarb is when it's first coming up?
Right. That would be a good time. It's sort of like hostas and some of the others. That's a great time to get them.
Okay. And it looks like she does a pretty good job cutting it back in the fall
Cleaning up, right.
Okay. So, and I think we got another email in as well about a parsley plant.
Yes. In fact, this person wants to know, this is Tim. Tim says, "Hi, Dave. My parsley plant has started to get brown around the edges of the leaves. I found one sprig with spider web-like features. Reminded me of a tent worm on a tree. It has been healthy all winter and will be transplanted outside in the next few weeks. What should I do?" And so he sent in a picture, too. I love being able to show you a picture, Dave, of kind of the browning he gets around the edge of the leaves.
Right, yeah. The browning around the edges of the leaves could be a salt buildup in the soil, because that's very common to happen. But I think what's going to happen here is you could, if the pot has drainage in, you could get some distilled water, rainwater, whatever, snow water too, but hopefully we won't get any more of that.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to find.
Well, I don't know. I haven't given up on snow yet. So.
Dave, you are such a Debbie Downer. I feel like you want some snow.
No. I'm just trying to get prepared
in case we
do get it. But yep. And you could take that and then pour that through, really run that through good, and that would take worse the salt out. Because if you use tap water for watering, there is salt in the tap water. And if you fertilized it, there's salt in the fertilizer. So that can cause that problem.
Okay.
So you could do that. And once you get it moved outside, hose it down good. And my guess is the problem would take care of itself once it's out in the ground.
There you go.
That's very good news. To the phone lines we go. Sylvia is waiting.
Hi, Sylvia.
Hi. I plan to cut back shrubs this spring,
pretty
soon here now. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if there are any that I ought not to in the spring, other than lilacs.
Lilacs would typically be one that you'd stay away from. I guess I wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't do anything until they get leafed out.
With any of the shrubs?
Well, happened to me a number of years back is I was doing pruning out for other people, and I went before the stuff leafed out, and I pruned everything up nice. Then once they leafed out, and I noticed there had been some winter damage, so I had to go back and prune again and cut them back, because I had missed some of the winter damage because they hadn't leafed out yet. I think things like potentillas, dogwood, some of those hardy things, there'd be no problem doing it before they leaf out. But things that maybe spireas and some of those that are a little bit not quite as hardy, there might be some winter dieback. And if there is, you'd have to redo it again later. So, and it doesn't hurt to prune them after they get leafed out. But
okay, that was what I was wondering. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
But
no, there should not be a problem.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Sure,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Someone in our text club says, "Hi, Dave, welcome back. So last fall we tried dormant seeding. Any chance that will work with the lack of snow we've had?"
Well, I don't think that should not make any difference. The problem I have with dormant seeding, of course, is that the The grass seed lays all through the winter, which is okay. But come spring, once the snow is gone, little birds like to feed on that grass seed. So then they come and clean it up. So, it you know, if the grass seed is still there, it probably will germinate and you'll probably have good luck with it. But it just depends how many little birds, sparrows and things were feeding on it and how many have been feeding on it all through the winter because it was so open.
Okay.
That would be the only thing. Otherwise, the seed would be fine.
Someone else said, is it okay to put down lawn fertilizer now?
It's a little bit early, but, you know, if you get a bulletin from NDSU, they tell you to wait till Memorial Day. But the reason they do that is that lawns will go and green up nice in the spring, whether you fertilize them or not. And if you let that first flush of growth come and then you fertilize them, then you get another flush of growth. So that was the reason that typically they would recommend waiting, but it's not going to hurt if you do fertilize.
Okay. Someone says, I saw some men doing the grass by North High. It looked like they were using an electric type machine that looked like it was sweeping the grass. Looked really nice. Do you know what it is called and what they were doing?
They were probably power raking would be my guess. I don't know if there's electric. I assume there must be electric power rakes, but power raking is going over and basically cleaning all the dead grass out, from the lawn surface itself.
Is it a good time to power rake?
Well, if you're going to power rake, yeah, you could do it, but you want it to be dry enough because power raking, it tends to put a certain amount of pressure on the grass plants as far as pulling them up. So I would wait until it's fairly dry before you do that. And be careful with the power raking. You don't want to be too deep and damage the grass. Usually we don't need to do that, but if the thatch layer is over a half inch deep, then you want to power rake. But if it isn't that deep, then usually power raking isn't required or needed. But some people will do it just because it looks better.
Sure.
Dave, I'm curious, with those people who go out and are going to mow for the first time ever, and that first mow is mainly just cleaning up, you know, and looking at it. Are you mulching all of that stuff that's come over the winter, or are you bagging that stuff?
No, I haven't. I've never bagged my lawn, so I just leave it go. If I've got too much leaves and stuff, I'll rake that up and get that off. But if it's just normal lawn debris, no, I just leave that.
Okay. Yeah.
And what about, as long as we're talking about power raking, aerating the lawn, is do you do that now? I think you have to wait, don't you, until it's
spring,
pretty dry?
Yeah, spring is, yeah, it's the same thing with aerating. You have to wait for it to be fairly dry because aerators are heavy, and if you go over the lawn with them and it's still moist, you're packing the ground. The whole idea of aerating is to pull plugs out of the ground so you're opening up the soil so that the fertilizer and the moisture in the air get down to the grass roots. But if you're doing it, it's too wet, you just pack it down. The other thing to be concerned about, though, if it's too dry and you go over the aerator won't go in the ground because it's so hard. So you have to kind of get between the time when it's wet and it's too dry to do the aerating. But spring is typically a time to do the aeration. And the reason for that is, of course, the grass plants, this is a good time of the year for them to recover from the damage done by the aerator.
Sure.
What about the chemical aeration? Like, have you seen that where they put, like, something granular down to do the aerating instead?
They keep pushing that
to me on social media, and I was like, I don't understand how this would be as good as the plugs.
I don't know how it would work either, because you're not taking anything out of the
ground. Right.
And here it's very important to take out of the ground because our real heavy soil really packs down. And when it's really packed, then it's harder for the moisture, the fertilizer, and the air to get down to the grass roots. So that's why we wanted to open it up. Now, there is the aerators, too, with tines that just poke holes in the ground, but that really doesn't accomplish anything either because when it pokes a hole in the ground, it just pushes the soil around the hole a little more packed. You need something that actually takes the plugs out of the ground.
My wife bought me shoes that have, like, the aerator on the bottom. And I'll tell you what else they do. They make you look silly walking around your yard, too.
I'm sure they do.
Is it too early to apply crabgrass preventer?
I think it's still early. Normally, we do it about the 10th of May. But it has been warmer this year, so I would think getting it by the 1st of May, unless we really get some cold temperature, would be fairly appropriate. Crabgrass is a fairly warm season grass, so soil needs to be fairly warm for the crabgrass to germinate.
Okay. Is it temperature, amount of sunlight, or both that determines when the typical neighborhood trees start budding?
Well, it's some of both. Some of it's got to do with day length, and some of it has to do with temperatures. But I know my apple trees are starting to The buds are starting to enlarge on them now, so I would guess it'd be fairly soon unless we get some really cold temperatures that's going to slow it down.
I fertilized and overseeded my patchy lawn early last spring, but the new grass seed never germinated. Any tips for success when I try again this year, Dave?
Well, I guess the new grass seed, it's tough because last spring was probably hot and dry. It's difficult to get the grass seed in and get it down to the soil. We've got the mulch there, and you put the grass seed on top. You almost have to rake it in a little bit to make sure it gets down to the soil. And then if we get a typical spring where we get frequent rains, then you'll have pretty good luck. But if you get a spring like last year, I think, where it was winter one day and it was summer the next day, that's very difficult to get grass to grow because you have to keep it moist all the time. And when it gets really hot, that's difficult to do. If a person has a sprinkler system, that works better, of course, because then you can regulate when you water. But just on a normal lawn, it's difficult to interseed and have good success when the temperatures are warm or hot.
Yeah, or some of that almost burlap-like stuff.
You can put that down. You can put that down. The problem there is you have to make sure you get it up before the grass grows through the burlap too much.
Right.
I've seen people put it down, and the grass comes through, and then when it's time to get the burlap up, then it pulls all the grass up.
So
you have to, when it starts to poke through, you have to get the burlap off.
Yeah, good point. Dave, Cecilia's been waiting for you on the phone lines.
Sounds good. I'm ready.
Okay.
Hi, Cecilia.
Hi there.
Yes.
I have a couple of raised garden, elevated garden beds.
Right.
And I'm wondering what would be the best product to use to rejuvenate them for this coming season.
Well, the thing with them is you could do a soil test, but one thing that's probably going to be short is I would guess the nitrogen will be short because nitrogen is a chemical that when it's in the soil, we water it and it rains on it, nitrogen tends to move down through the soil. So my guess would be in a raised bed like that, that it probably tends to wash down to the bottom of the bed or maybe even out from the watering and from the rain. So I would assume that you're going to need to add nitrogen. So I would say just a garden fertilizer mix, something for a vegetable garden, and use it at the rate that they recommend, and you can't go too wrong. But my guess is be that without doing a soil test, that the nitrogen level will be low.
Okay, and what I need to add some more soil to it too.
Okay.
And I've got a mixture of peat moss, I think, and compost and potting soil in there.
Right. And even if there was a little bit of Fargo black dirt in there, it would not hurt because that would tend to help hold the moisture a little better. What happens when you use a lot of peat and a lot of compost, the water tends to run through that fairly quickly, so your soil tends to always be dry.
Yes, that's true.
Right, and the regular Fargo soil, that will tend to hold the moisture. So working some of that in certainly would not be a bad idea.
Okay, I'm not from Fargo, though, so that's not going to...
Where are you from?
Suscon County, Jamestown area.
Oh, okay. I mean, the soil there, I imagine, is a lot lighter.
It is, yeah.
But I think it probably... Even some of that probably would help hold the moisture.
So garden soil versus a potting mix.
Right. I would say garden soil would be much better at holding moisture than the potting soil because potting soil tends to be fairly light. Water tends to run right through that. So that's the problem you run into with light soil. It's always dry.
All right. Thank you very much.
Sure. Anytime. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Someone asks, can I trim my ash trees this weekend or wait?
No. There's no problem. You could certainly trim them.
Okay. Trim trees. So it's not too early is it too late to prune your fruit trees? I know you did that a long time ago.
Oh, I did a long time ago, but they're not leafed out yet, so that should not be a problem. If they need the pruning, now would be better than waiting until they get fully leafed out. So I would certainly go ahead and do it.
I think we kind of answered this question at the very beginning of the show, but might not have been listening, and let's do it again. Does rhubarb slowly die out over the years? I had beautiful plants 20 years ago, and today nothing even begins to grow in that spot.
Well, I don't know why nothing would grow in that spot, but yes, what happens is they tend to get root bound after a while. It's like any plant. They all tend to grow in one spot, and it gets root bound, and then you just dig it, divide it, and move some of it, at least part of the crown someplace else. so that you can get it spread out. Then it tends to rejuvenate itself if you do that.
And you will be surprised that first year after you split that rhubarb, holy moly, it's vigorous.
Have you done that? Because you have some, like, heritage rhubarb, I would say.
I would say, like, every 5 or 6 years, someone comes knocking, and so I know which plant it's time to split. And, I mean, you can tell as it's growing during the season. Like, if it's just... if it's taking over itself and all of a sudden not producing as much, it's time to just... and splitting rhubarb, easiest thing on the planet.
Right, right. Just take the spade right down through the middle and take part of it off and move it someplace else.
Even if you don't want it to live, it's still going to live. That's the problem. Yeah. It's just like a daylily.
Right.
Sylvia's in our text club. She called you earlier to talk to you about cutting back shrubs. She said, I forgot to ask him how far back to cut.
It depends on what she's cutting back. You know, most shrubs... you can cut them back pretty severely. They will come back. The smaller shrubs, of course, it'll take them longer to get big. But most shrubs, I mean, dogwoods and some of those, you can really cut them back, and they come back really fast. So, yeah, you're not going to overcut back. Now, evergreens, of course, if you're talking about evergreens, you have to be careful there, because if you cut all the green off, an evergreen is just going to die because it doesn't get new growth from the old wood. Whereas dogwoods and lilacs and the rest of those potentillas, they'll get new growth from brown stock. So you can cut them back pretty severely, and they will come back.
Okay. A large part of my yard was killed by grubs last summer. My yard is 5 acres and about 60% dead. Oh, my gosh. Do I need to till up the whole yard to replant, or... harrow off the dead sections and reseed? Do the dead sections need to be tilled before seed is applied? Oh, no, that's a lot of space to cover, Dave.
That's an awful lot of space to cover. Yeah, if you're going to try and do that, go over with something like a section of a drag or something that's going to tend to loosen it up. And you're going to have pretty good success to get, the spring is going to be just right to go ahead and plant that. The other thing to keep in mind is what happened to the grubs. Are they still there? If they're still a problem, then I'd be concerned about that.
Okay, so if the grubs are still a problem, what do you do before you replant?
Well, you need to kill the grubs. So I would say if you have grub problems this year, you need to call your county agent and find out what time of the year and what to use for grubs. Because grubs in lawns, grubs are something that once you get them there, you have to control them. Otherwise, they're not going to be gone.
Yeah. Okay. And then you don't think she has to till it up before she plants, right?
No, but it needs to be roughed up
it
something.
It needs to be loosened up,
It needs to be loosened up a little bit. But 5 acres, that's not even feasible unless you've got something you can mechanically do that with.
Right.
Like I say, if you're in a farm area, a section of a drag or something going over that will tend to loosen it up. But going in and reseeding the lawn and everything, if you've still got a grub problem, that's not the way to go.
Okay.
You need to get rid of the grub problem first.
Okay. Mary is on the phone line for you, Dave.
Hi, Mary.
Yes, I was just listening to you talk about the mixing garden soil in it. My garden soil, we had a strip of gumbo that just run right through our yard.
Right.
So I'm wondering what kind of a mix I should have.
Well, you're talking about for a raised bed?
Yes.
Okay. I would say there are places in Fargo, some of these... sand and gravel places that sell topsoil or sell soil that you can use to add to your garden, something like that would be good.
Well, I'm 180 miles from Fargo.
Okay.
So what do you suggest?
Okay. Where are you at?
Up on the east side of Cavalier County.
Oh, okay. I mean, your soil up there, I assume, is as heavy as ours is here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Something like that. If it's black, some of that worked in would be good.
Okay.
That's going to help hold moisture, because I know with raised beds, if you use just regular potting soil and peat, you put the water in and tomorrow it's dry. I mean, it just doesn't hold moisture. And you need something worked in there that's going to hold moisture.
Yeah, I'll do about a third.
I think that would be plenty.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, bye-bye.
Someone wants to know, aerate before overseeding?
You certainly could. You certainly could do that, because what happens, you aerate it, then you water it good, and when you water it good, it tends to break the little plugs down, and that makes soil, you've got some black soil on top for the seed to grow in. So aeration and then anything it can do to break the little plugs down before you seed would be good.
Plant Talk is on the air with Dave Decock, brought to you by Thompson Greenery in Barnesville and Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood. Dave, John is up first here.
Hi, John.
Hi. I was wondering about propagation, that kind of thing, you know, in the spring, the shoots are coming up out of the ground, and can the guy just dig down and get some of them out? Let the roots grow?
Now, what are you talking about?
Fruit trees.
Fruit trees? The problem with fruit trees is, John, is that fruit trees, all the fruit trees are grafted. So if you get suckers coming from the ground around a tree, and you manage to dig that up and get it planted, it's not going to be like the plant that you took it from. See, All apples are grafted. And the rootstock is just some type of an apple, but it's some kind of an apple, but it's not a good fruiting variety. So they grow these little trees, and then they graft a good variety onto the tree. So if you look at a fruit tree and you go up from the ground or close to the ground level, you'll see the trunk is a little bit crooked there, or you can see it's been put together there. Everything above that is a good fruit tree, but the stuff below it is just a rootstock. So taking suckers from a fruit tree and expecting to have good apples on it is just not going to happen.
I see.
Yeah. So
just trying to cheat a little bit.
Yeah. Now, if you're looking to save money on getting fruit trees, I know that Cheyenne Gardens, they used to sell fruit trees that bare root fruit trees. So if you contact them and ask them if they sell bare root fruit trees, you'll find the price is a lot better than if you go and buy potted fruit trees someplace mm-hmm. else. So I would check with Adam at Cheyenne Gardens if you're looking to save money on fruit trees.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Bye, John.
Thanks, John. Wayne is next.
Hi, Wayne.
Hey, Dave. I love speaking with you. I love your program. Your guys are wonderful. Anyway, two questions.
Sure.
One, I tilled up my one garden, and last fall I put a bunch of wildflowers in it.
Right.
And I tilled it up this spring, and I told my wife, I said, we'll put some corn gluten on there so I don't get the weeds.
Mm-hmm.
But if I do that, do I lose throwing my wild flower seeds away?
Well, the problem is there, of course, if the corn gluten is going to kill germinating seeds, the problem you're going to run into is it would do the same thing with the wildflowers that the seed you put down with wildflowers, unless they had already started to grow last fall. See, any kind of a pre-emergence that you put down, that's why on lawns, when people want to interseed the lawn and they put crabgrass killer down, they can't interseed because the crabgrass killer will kill all the germinating grass seed. And you'd have the same problem there. If you put something down that's a pre-emergency, it's going to end up killing anything that tries to grow from seed. But if it was already started and growing, then you'd be okay.
I'd be fine.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my second question. Roundup.
Right.
If I put that down on some of my garden,
right,
how long would I have to wait before I could plant anything with that?
Not long. Roundup works such that when you spray it, it has to get on something green to be effective. You could take these big elm trees and stuff. You could spray the trunk. You know, the trunk is just bark. You spray the trunk, it doesn't affect the tree at all. It has to be sprayed on something green. So Roundup laying in the soil, it's not going to be a problem.
Okay. You just brought me into another question, if you have time.
Sure, go ahead.
Make it quick, Wayne.
Here's the question. Okay, if I cut down a tree, what can I spray on it along my driveway? I'm a rural guy, and so it doesn't come back.
Well, I guess what I do with them is when they start to come back, then I go ahead and mix up something and spray it on the new shoots that try and grow, and that usually takes care of the situation. The thing when you cut a tree down, the center part of the tree is just dead wood. The growing part of the tree is right under the bark. So I had a big ash tree taken out, and then last summer I had some shoots coming up. So I got myself a Roundup mixture and sprayed there and sprayed a little dandelion spray on, and that killed the suckers. And hopefully I won't have to do it again this year.
Okay. Thank you, my friend.
No problem, Wayne. Anytime.
Really appreciate your advice.
Well, thank you.
Wonderful.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, bye-bye.
Thanks, Wayne. And thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Another great edition of Plant Talk. We appreciate it.
Sounds great. We'll see you guys next Thursday.
Plant Talk brought to you by Thompson Greenery in Barnesville and Cheyenne Gardens in Harwood.